All night, yeah, y'all, I wouldn't give up. All night, yeah, church, I wouldn't let go. All night, yeah, y'all, I just hear, oh, I called on the Lord. All night long, and I wouldn't let go until he blessed my soul. I'm a witness, great God Almighty, that he came through. All night, yeah, y'all, I wouldn't give up. All night. Yeah, y'all, I wouldn't let go all night. Yeah, y'all, I just held on. Oh, I called on the Lord all night long, and I would let go until he blessed my soul. I'm a witness, great God Almighty, he came through. Ooh. Jacob wrestling with the angel all night long, wouldn't let go till the break of dawn. Said you gotta bless me before you leave. I felt the same way when I was on my knee. I asked the Lord to help me to be strong. I called on him all night long. All night. Yeah, y'all. I wouldn't give up. All night. Yeah, y'all, I wouldn't let go all night. Yeah, y'all, I just held on. Oh, I called on the Lord all night long, and I wouldn't let go until he blessed. I'm a witness, great God Almighty, that he came through. The inspired writer said, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. When the gospel is preached, we make a better world. When the gospel is preached, all of the disconnected aspects of reality weave into a harmonious whole. When the gospel is preached, we move from alienation to reconciliation. That's why the Bible says, preach the word. Preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, again, we are just happy to have those visiting with us today. Sister Pledger from the Hickory Street Church of Christ in Greenville. She's with us today, and I appreciate her so much. And I think Tracy has a guest. I'll let you know that we are delighted, and Maria has a guest. Ernest is here, that you're here today. Matthew chapter 16 is the place. Matthew chapter 16. And I want to begin reading at the 21st verse. You have that, say amen. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Using that text, I want to talk this morning from a very important subject that all of us really need to think about. I want to talk from the subject this morning, don't give up the mission. Don't give up the mission. Let me say that again. I don't think y'all heard that. Don't give up the mission. I still don't believe y'all heard it. Don't give up the mission. Now, the great scholar and preacher Solomon said, of all you're getting, get understanding. And to facilitate our understanding, I think it is in order to define the word mission. Mission means a special task given to a person or a group of persons. A mission is a special task given to people to which they attach special importance and special care. Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief. And when he was fresh from the grave after his victory over death and the grave and sin with the keys of death and hell swinging round his waist, he stood on resurrection ground and said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore, he gave a mission. He told the apostle, here's the mission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every business needs a mission. Every organization needs a mission. Every person needs a mission. Amen. The church is not only an organization, the church is an organism. And the church has a mission. And everybody that's a member of the church should be involved in the mission. So don't give up the mission. In this lesson today, I want to talk about the mission of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, because he had a mission. Then I want to talk about or explain the fact that you and I have a mission while on this earth. Amen. So I want you to see two ideas. Number one, the first idea I want you to see in this message is, what happened when Jesus began to reveal his mission? And the second point is, we must think the thoughts of God if we're going to carry out the mission. Two ideas. What happened when Jesus began to reveal his mission? And we must think the thoughts of God if we're going to fulfill the mission. Now, Jesus Christ's mission was always clear in Scripture. It is set forth as a faithful or trustworthy saying in 1 Timothy 1:15, where Paul say, this is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was his mission. Even at the precocious age of 12, he was conscious of his mission when he told his parents one day in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He was thinking about the special work that God had given him to do. Then one day outside of a village in Samaria, when the inhabitants were not very friendly and receptive, and James and John wanted to call down fire and just burn the people up, and Jesus reminded them of his mission. He said, I didn't come into the world to destroy people's lives, but I came to save them. That's my mission. Then in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then in the courts of Caesarea Philippi, one day a marvelous conversation was going on. And the question on the floor was, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And many answers were given. Some said that he was John the Baptist. Some said he was Jeremiah. Some said he was Elijah. Some said he's one of the prophets. But Jesus didn't stop there. He pressed on and asked the disciple, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter stepped up and gave the answer. He said, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said unto him, Peter, because of this, there's a blessing for you. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't give it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he gave it to you. You know, that's the greatest confession you can make, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you make that confession, what difference does it make in your life? Have you made it that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You can't be a Christian if you don't make that statement. You can't go to heaven if you don't confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't have your name written down in heaven if you don't confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You remember the story in Acts chapter 8, how a eunuch was on his way back to Ethiopia. He was a powerful man. He had been to worship. He was going back to Ethiopia, and a preacher met him on the road. And they had a Bible class in the chariot. You can have a Bible class anywhere. You can have a Bible class under the tree. You can have a Bible class in the park. You can have a Bible class in the den. You can have a Bible class at the kitchen table. Is that all right? And as they rode along in that chariot, he was reading about a man who was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a sheep dumb before his shearer, he opened not his mouth. His life is taken from him. Who shall declare his generation? Isaiah told us he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our stripes, our peace upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Is that all right? Then the eunuch said, well, who is this man? Who is the prophet speaking of? Is he speaking of himself, or is he talking about some other man? And from that passage, Philip the evangelist preached unto him Jesus, but he had to make the confession that Peter made in Caesarea Philippi. And Peter said, you are the Christ. How many believe that? You believe he's the Christ? He's the Son of the living God. And he said, he rode along, and the eunuch said, see his water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Anybody want to be baptized today? I know folks have taken water out of salvation, but God put the water in it. Is that all right? God is not in the dry cleaning business. You can't pray your way into a saved relationship, notwithstanding all who say you can. To see here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, thou mayest if thou believest with all thy heart. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you don't make that confession, you are not a suitable candidate for baptism. If you don't make that confession, you are not a suitable candidate for heaven. Is that all right? Well, Peter made that confession in Caesarea Philippi. But notice, you know, things can really change. And after Peter makes the confession, you're the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus now begins to talk about the mission. It's all right to have a fellowship dinner. Amen. But we need to talk about the mission. Amen. So Jesus began to reveal the mission. He said, Peter, you've just said that I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of the living God. Let me tell you why I'm here. If anybody live a purpose-driven life, Brother Milton, if anybody live a purpose-driven life, Brother Rutledge, it was Christ. Rick Warren wrote the best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. If anybody lived a purpose-driven life, it was Jesus. He was in touch with the mission. So now, based upon the confession in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus began to reveal the specific details of the mission. He said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and the scribes. I must be killed. And in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. That's the mission. Well, when Peter heard the mission, he took Jesus to the side. Jesus, let me holler at you just a minute. He had the misguided boldness to teach Jesus. He had the misguided boldness to tell Jesus what was going to happen. He said, look at this verse again. He said to Jesus in Matthew 16 and verse 22, then Peter took him, watch this, and began to rebuke him. Rebuke means to speak to sharply. Sometimes you have to rebuke, but that's something you save for special occasions. Hello, y'all. And he began to reprimand Jesus. And this is what he said to him. He's saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you. This ain't going to never happen to you, G. I don't know what you're talking about. Pity yourself, Lord. Don't you do that, Jesus. Now, church, I saw something in this text as I prepared this message that I had never realized before. Do you not know that anybody here got a best friend? Let me ask again, because y'all. Anybody here got a best friend? Your best friends can put pressure on you. If somebody's in your life and they have a position of special friend, they can put pressure on you. And that's why the Bible warns us that you got to love God more than you love your mama. I know that's deep. You got to love God more than you love your father. You got to love God more than you love your husband. You got to love God more than you love your children. You got to love God more than you love you. And sometimes the most formidable temptation can come from well-meaning friends who care more about our comfort than our character. I need to say that again. I don't think y'all got that. Sometimes the most formidable temptations can come from well-meaning friends who care more about our comfort than our character. Peter was a special friend of Jesus. Jesus loved Peter, and Peter's words put pressure on Jesus. Peter's word began to constitute a temptation for Jesus to give up the mission. He said, "Don't you do that." One moment, Peter is telling Jesus how great you are. You're the Son of God. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. The next moment, he's telling him what he can't do. You ever had that happen to you? One minute, he's telling you how wonderful you are. And the next minute they tell you, you can't do that. Or you shouldn't do that. Ever happened to you? He's telling Jesus now, don't you do that. And Jesus said, and isn't it interesting, one moment Peter is receptive to the revelation of God, thou art the Christ, Son of living God. The next moment he is subject or is receptive to the operations of the devil. One moment you can be listening to God. The next moment you change channels and you listen to the devil. Is that all right? And now Jesus recognized the devil is in Peter. The devil is using Peter. Peter is misguided because Peter is telling Jesus to give up the mission. And if Jesus had given up the mission, that would have a direct effect on us. Because Peter is telling Jesus, even though he does not fully understand it, he's telling Jesus to give up the only way in which men can be saved. If men are going to be saved, the mission's got to be carried out. He's telling Jesus to give up the only way in which sins can be forgiven. How many want to have their sins forgiven? How many of you this morning are being forgiven important to you? Well, Peter is saying, give up the only way in which people can be forgiven. Peter is saying, give up the only way in which you can have your name written down in heaven. He's saying to Jesus, give up the mission. And Jesus said, Peter, you're putting pressure on me. Jesus Christ was a human being too. Tempted in all points like you. You ever been, have your friends ever put pressure on you? Hello? Husband, wife, he'll put pressure on you. She get to fussing around the house. Oh, Lord. Tell you about what you ain't doing. That's pressure. Y'all better come on, go with me. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Is that right? Put pressure on you. You ever just felt the pressure? Well, somebody, you want to do something, somebody telling you, you shouldn't do it. Give up the mission, Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, watch this. You are an offense. Offense means you are a stumbling block. You know what a stumbling block is, church? A stumbling block is something put before you that trips you up. Let me ask you something. If you're walking down the street, you're minding your business, somebody sitting in a seat, you're walking down the street, and they sit in the seat and you walk and they try to trip you up. Would you like that? Would you say thank you? You wouldn't like that, would you? Because they're trying to trip you up, Hillary. Is that all right? So Jesus said, Peter, what you've just said, Brother Hillary, read it again. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, what you've just said is a...
an offense unto me.
Offense is a stumbling block. Peter, you're putting something in my way. I've just told you about the mission, but now you're putting something in my way that's trying to trip me up. You're telling me to give up the mission. You're putting pressure on me. This is a temptation for me, and it's coming through you. You're my friend. And I need you to encourage me. But instead, you tripping me up. That's why, let me share something with you. That's why you better be very careful with who you really share your dreams with. You can't tell everybody about your big plans, because some of them will trip you up. Huh? Yeah, man, I got a deal in works for about, I'll make about $250K. Yeah, who you got it with? I got it with Lehman Brothers. Okay, I'll holler at you here. Boop, 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 boop. That's Lehman Brothers. Yeah, I just heard such and such got a deal, and I want to let you know something about him. You can't tell everybody about your, because they will trip you up. Here's the mission. I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to suffer at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. I even got to be killed. And Brother White, I believe after he said kill, they didn't hear the rest of it. In 3 days, I'm going to get up. When he said kill, their mind went blank. Is that all right? Now, here's the final point. In order to carry out the mission, you got to thank God's thought. Now, Brother Hillary, let's read that verse again. Now, he told Peter, what did he tell Peter?
Get thee behind me.
He said, get behind me.
Satan.
One moment, Peter's mouth is saying, thou art the what? Christ. The next moment, Peter's mouth is saying, Lord, be it far from you. One moment, you're the. Next moment, you. One moment, you great. Man, you great. You great. Next moment, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. You can't do that. Then he said something else, Brother Hillary. The latter part of that verse, what did it say?
Thou art an offense unto
me. Thou art an offense unto me. You are a stumbling stone to me.
For thou savorest.
For here, now, here, I'm going to get down to the heart. Here is one of the biggest problems in my life, your life, the church life, and that is we don't savor the things of God. The reason Peter is opposing the mission, and perhaps you might be opposing the mission and you don't realize why you're opposing it. It has all to do with your thinking. You see, your body could be in this church building, but your mind could be on the other side of town. Hello. Is that right? So Jesus now is diagnosing the problem. He said, the reason you are opposing the mission, the reason you are tempting me to give up the mission because of the kind and the quality of thinking that you're doing. You're thinking like a man. You're not thinking like God. If anybody knows what's wrong with us, it's Jesus. If anybody can fix us, it's Jesus. Jesus knows all about psychology. Jesus knows all about sociology. Jesus knows all about anthropology. That's why somebody said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Yes, he's the Prince of Peace. And Jesus Christ, with his counsel, can take me from nowhere to somewhere. Jesus can take me from sunset to sunrise. Jesus can take me from a spiritual famine to a spiritual feast. Jesus can take me from a sinner to a child of the Most High God. If anybody knows all about me, if anybody know how to fix me, it's Jesus. Jesus said, I see what the problem is, Peter. You are thinking like a man. God says, my ways are not like your ways, and my thoughts are as high as the heavens are above the earth, are your ways and my ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Didn't he say that? And until Peter changed his thinking, he would never go along with the mission. Is that all right? Now, let's see Peter's change in thinking. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:18, Brother Hillary. And let's just see how his thinking changed.
For as much as you know.
For as much as you know. Watch this. Now, before he was opposed to the cross, what did he tell Jesus? Don't you do that. Don't you even go near Jerusalem. Read.
For as much as you know, that you were not redeemed.
You were not redeemed
with corruptible things. As silver and gold. From your vain conversation. Received by tradition from your father.
Read.
But with the precious blood of Christ.
But look now how he looks at the cross. What did he tell Jesus before? Don't go. But now look at what he's saying about that cross. Read it, Brother Hillary.
But with the precious blood of Christ.
Where did Jesus shed his blood? Where did Jesus shed his blood? Did he have to go to the cross? And now Peter looks at it. Peter sees the mission. Why did Jesus have to die? Because that was the mission. You say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right? Have you made that confession? When you made it, his mission became your mission. Read, Brother Hillary.
As of a lamb without spot.
Read.
And without spot.
Turn over to the second chapter. I think it's verse 24. Let's try 2:24. What did that say?
Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree.
Now, Peter is thinking about the cross different. Church, I want you to really see this. Earlier he said, thou art the what? Christ, Son of the living God. Is that correct? Next minute, don't you go to the cross, right? Be it far from you. Now, look at his writings about the cross or the mission. What did he say, Brother Hitler? Read it.
Who his own self. Bear our sins in his own body.
But Peter didn't want him to go. Did he? Church, I tell you, one reason why we all ought to be humble. We got a lot of reasons why we ought to be humble. But one reason we ought to be humble is, number one, we don't know enough about life or understand enough about life to know what's going to happen. Because there may be some things happening in your life and you don't know whether it's the hand of God or the hand of the devil. Right. You might well come on with me this morning. Right. And you can't figure it out until it plays out. Yeah. Peter didn't see the value of the cross. A lot of people can't see the value of the church. Yeah. Hello, y'all. Right. Now, the result... they come sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Now, he looks at the mission. 2:24 says what, Damien?
Who his own self. Bear our sins. In his own body. On the tree.
That we.
Being dead to sin. Should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes. You were healed.
Do you not know Peter was standing in the way of all that? If Jesus had took Peter's advice, Sister Ryan couldn't have fixed this morning. How many are going to commune this morning? You know what that communion means? The Bible says by his stripes we're what? Brother Hill just read, in his own body he bare our. That was the mission, wasn't it? To save me from sin. Is that right? Peter tried to get him to what? To give up the mission. Read that verse one more time and we're going to move to a conclusion.
Who his own self. Bear our sins in his tree. That we being dead to sin.
Should live unto righteousness. So he died so I could live in a certain way. Is that right? Read.
By his stripes. You were healed.
I'm healed. Yes, I found the love that pardoned. I found some stripes that heal. I find strength for my weakness. And I find grace to cover all my sins. Yes, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Marvelous the grace caught my fallen soul. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. That's the mission. And by his stripes, they bruised him. Lord have mercy. And by his stripes, I'm healed. Now, let me give you three things we got to do if we're going to carry out the mission. Number one, you got to recognize the mission. Everybody here who's a member of the body of Christ has a part to play in the mission. Now write these four things down. Three things you got to recognize. Let me give them to you. You got to recognize what the mission is. You got to recognize you are on active duty. Hello. And you got to recognize the things in your life that's preventing you from carrying out the mission. Hello? Because you made the confession, right? You made the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you? Do you believe that? My question is, what difference does it make to you? You still got the same bad attitude? You're still living the same way? Well, why did you confess that he's the Son of God? If he's the Son of God, shouldn't that affect the way you live? Shouldn't that affect the way you think? Shouldn't you accept the mission? Number one, the mission is, what does God require of all of us? Number one, the mission is to let your light so shine, live in such a way you honor and glorify God. That's the mission, that men may see your good works and do what? glorify the Father which is. That's the mission. Don't give it up. Number two, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2, 12. Work out your what? Your own salvation with fear and trembling. Number three, look at Titus 3:8, Brother Hillary. Titus 3:8.
This is a faithful saying.
This is a faithful saying.
And these things I will that
these things I will that I would constantly affirm.
That they which have believed in God.
They who have believed in God. That's Christians, right? Those are people who have made the great confession that Jesus is. Haven't you confessed that? That Jesus is what? So you accept the mission, right? They that have believed in God be what?
Might be careful to
maintain
good works.
To maintain good works. And number four, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand up to the devil, because he is coming. Now here's the second part. Recognize you're on active duty. All of us this morning are soldiers in the army. I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield. Lord, I'm a hard-fighting soldier. I'm on the battlefield. I'm a hard-fighting soldier, and I'm on the battlefield. I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by serving that. Well, I'm a hard-fighting soldier, and I'm on the well, I'm a hard, you know I'm on the, yes, I'm a hard fighting, and I'm on the, I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. You are a soldier, and you're on active duty. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You know I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. But I'm afraid this morning some soldiers have gone AWOL. Is that all right? Some soldiers are prisoners of war. They in the devil's camp. But I must tell you, you are on active duty. You got to help carry out. How in the world the church going to fight a battle? Don't y'all throw no rocks up here. I'm going to say something. How in the world the church going to have a gospel meeting, fight a battle, and half the army don't show up? Oh, you didn't see that coming. I said you're on active duty. We carry out the mission for Christ. Here's the final thing. Recognize what's in your life and what's in your way for carrying out the mission. Some people may be fighting distraction. You're so distracted you can't carry out the mission. Some people are fighting disturbance. They're so disturbed they can't carry out the mission. Some people are fighting defeat. They're so defeated they can't carry out the mission. Some people are fighting destruction. They're so destroyed they can't carry out the mission. Is that all right? Some people can't carry out the mission because they're procrastinating. Some can't carry out the mission because they're hesitating. Some can't carry out the mission because they're vacillating. Some can't carry out the mission because they're just afraid. You remember the parable of the talents? I'm closing now. Remember the parable of the talents? Remember the parable of the talents? He gave one man what? Five talents, one man two or three, is that correct? One man he gave one, right? One with five carried out the mission, didn't he? Because he heard the master say what? How many want to hear well done? How many want to hear well done? You hear well done, you got to carry out the mission, is that all right? And the man with one talent said, I was afraid, so I buried my talent. And God said, you're condemned because you've done so. Well, how do you accept a mission? You accept it by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that. I believe that Jesus really is. And I know sometimes we say that so much it just become almost rote. We extend the invitation. Folks start to get in their song books. Amen. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And the way I accept the mission, I hear the gospel. He carried out the mission. He died on the cross. He was buried. He got up third day, never to die no more. I got to believe that. I got to repent of my sins. I got to confess Christ. Got to be baptized. Is that right? Then I rise up out of the waters of baptism with my marching orders. I rise up out of the waters of baptism with my mission papers in my hand. Is that right? And you know, some of us wouldn't have a job if we treated our employers the way we treat the Lord. Oh, y'all didn't expect that, did you? But I got to tell you the truth because I love you too much. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, you got to carry out the mission. I'm going to my seat, but I must tell you, that in Caesarea Philippi, there was a grand confession. Peter said, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Is that all right? Jesus said, Simon, I got a blessing for you. Is that all right? Because you don't know it by your own intuition. You don't know it by your own intelligence. You don't know it by your own volition. You know it because my Father has revealed it unto you in heaven. Is that all right? And Simon, I got to carry out the mission. Simon, I'm going to Jerusalem. Simon, they going to mistreat me. Is that all right? Simon, they going to kill me. But Simon, I'm going to rise in 3 days. Is that all right? Not 2 days, not 4 days, not 5 days. But in 3 days, is that all right? And then I hear another great scholar talking about the mission. Apostle Paul said, I'm going to keep the mission. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Is that all right? And there's a crown of life laid up for me, but not only me, but everybody who keeps the mission. You're going to receive a crown of life. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, sometimes you might get lonely along this road, Sister Powers. Is that all right? So if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior is come, don't you be dismayed if men don't believe you. He'll understand and he'll say well done. Is that all right? Won't it be wonderful to hear him say well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say well done? Is that all right? Won't it be glorious to hear him say well done? Is that all right? Won't it be special to hear him say well done? Well, I heard to him right, I said, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He's loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth, hallelujah, marching on. Is that all right? His mission Hallelujah! It's marching on. Is that all right? I thank God for the mission. I thank God I'm a part of the mission. Is that all right? And I don't want to rust out. I want to wear out. Is that all right? And said, oh, one glad morning when this life is over, I want to hear him say, well done. Well done. You carried out the mission. And like Brother Wyatt prayed this morning. And when you carried out the mission, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be scared. Because you know it is well. It is well. Stand on your feet. It is well with my soul. Is that all right? Because I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You know I promise him, Brother Ryan, that I serve him till I die. I tell you, y'all might put me out of here, but you can't put me out the church. Is that all right? I'm going to serve him. Oh, I made up my mind. Sister Milton, I'm going to serve the Lord till I die. Oh, I might get knocked down, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to serve the Lord. I might fall down, but I'm going to get up, and I'm going to serve the Lord. I got to carry out the mission. Because one day I'm going to stand before my commander-in-chief. Amen. And I want him to crown me. But you can't, church, every member of this church, take it seriously. You ask yourself a question. Are you doing your part to carry out the mission? Every member of this church should be involved in ministry. You ought to be asking, what can I do for the ministry of this church? That's your mission. If you confess that Jesus Christ is the, then you got to be involved in ministry. You got to let your light shine. You got to make sure you're doing good works. Amen. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. I'm a hard-fighting soul, and I'm on. Lord, I'm a heart. You know I'm on. Well, I'm a heart. You know that I'm on. I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the Spirit.